97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold grind.
This is one of the best songs ever made, right?
Ever?
Absolutely.
I really think so. Down and at least when it comes to, like, country rock, like, this song is so good. Welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
And my partner, Bo Matthews. I'm not kidding. This is
That's an anthem, buddy.
It is. It is way up. I'll take this over, like, Family Tradition.
Yeah.
You know, all the like, the classic
football song.
Yeah, all the like, classic sing-alongs that you would play at wedding receptions and things like that. If you want, like you said, an anthem, we play, this is a part of our Boys Lake trip every year. This is a big old boat sing-along.
So you get drunk and sing this song.
I will tell you this.
It fits perfectly with, like, 90s rock, which is what we all grew up with. Mm-hmm. It fits perfectly with 90s and 2000 hip-hop. It holds its own. It's perfect. It does not stand out in a playlist of songs from all different genres.
Anybody can love it. And I will tell you that in 1999, Chad Brock did an updated version of that because everybody was freaking out because the end of the world was coming at the strike Y2K. Of the midnight. Yeah, absolutely. And it was a version of this, you know, stealing several lines from it, but rewriting a lot of it. And that was also an anthem. And look here, 20 years later, we're still alive.
Yeah. Yeah. The Y2K thing was a little, looking back, that whole thing was a little silly.
We didn't know, and we depend on computers more now than we did then.
I know, but don't you remember? Like, most computer people all said we're going to be fine. There was like one or two that said
your bank account's going.
We don't
away.
Know what's
going
to happen, and that was enough to scare everybody. I think most people. I mean, I remember we made a gag of it.
Mm-hmm.
On the point back then, made it sound like the station collapsed and went off the air at midnight. And then.
Oh, we did the Y2K sheet, and we went a week commercial free because the computers lost all of our commercials.
See, so we were all planning all of that and programming all into the computers that were supposedly not going to work. It kind of reminds me of the earthquake prediction.
Ivan Browning in 1990.
Yeah.
I was just going to say the same thing, but I didn't want to stretch it out. I mean, that's not really Second Amendment and the Great Outdoors talk. No. But how many of those gas shutoffs did they sell? Remember, there was a company that was, you know, putting those things out there and making a gazillion dollars doing it. Anyway,
I was in
Happy New Year, guys.
Yeah, I was in junior high in 1990, and like half the school stayed home. I went to school. I was in class. But I remember, I mean, like the parents kept their kids home because this one guy said, oh, the big one. It's happening
on
this exact day at this exact time.
But they are on a fault line.
We are. But I mean, but again, every other scientist was like, you cannot predict these things to the minute ever. So
it's on this day at this time.
Exactly. There's no way.
I like to keep an open mind.
Right.
I like to keep an open mind.
Anyway,
you know?
Anyway, funny stuff. Welcome to Second Amendment Radio. We've got a great show on hand for you. We are going to replay an interview that Bo and I. So Bo was gracious enough to help me most of this week on the Dave Glover show here on 97.1 FM Talk. If you're listening on 97.1 FM Talk, if you're listening on KMOX, you still should be
go to radio.com and you can hear.
Yeah. Earlier in the week on Tuesday, we had Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County join us for one last discussion with the sheriff before the end of the year. We kind of reflected on 2020 and looked forward to 2021 and all of the issues that law enforcement will be facing locally and around the country in the new year. So it was a great conversation with Sheriff Marshak. So we're going to replay that for you coming up in the next segment. But right now, joining us as he does every week, I almost said every day, as he does every week at this time, is our good friend Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory. Aaron, how's it going, dude?
Good afternoon.
Good morning, afternoon.
Happy New Year.
Or whenever you're listening, Happy New Year. What is... What's going on at Southern Armory as we get ready to, depending on when people are, let's see, well, this will air on
first. See, the second or the third?
Yeah, so it'll be the new year. So what is happening? We're recording this just before the new year. What is happening at Southern Armory as we get ready to enter into the new year?
So we're doing a lot of projections for next year, putting in our stocking dealer packages, and just kind of getting stuff lined up. So that's... what to kind of expect New Year's.
Do you see any change to the, our, I guess, we? I think we've all talked about and decided that the craziness that the firearms industry is facing right now and has been throughout 2020 is not coming to an end immediately. How long into 2021 do you think the current pressure on the industry is going to last?
I think the correct answer is how long into 2022.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I was reading a statement made by Federal the other day, and they are producing ammo. It's just there's been so many new shooters coming in, all needing ammo, mm-hmm. all needing guns, all needing accessories, that it's hard for them to keep up with demand. Mm-hmm. Even with the buyout of Remington's ammo brand, et cetera. You know, they got that. I believe it was Federal bought that. And, there was no primers, projectiles, powder, cases, nothing. They literally just got machines. And the supply lines with the orders had been interrupted there as well. So it's just going to be kind of a struggle, at least for ammo. And the more popular firearms, but we are amazingly still getting those in stock. You know, it's just one of those things, you come in and put your name on a list, and we are getting them. So it just takes a little bit of patience, a lot of new shooters. And we see that in the store. People will flat out tell us, well, I'm new. And it's like, cool. Welcome.
And, you know, it's so important that they get practice in. I stress this to everybody. You remember a few months ago, we talked to my buddy Jeff, who's gone, you know, 60 years through life without a firearm. And then this year he went out and got one. And I stress to him, I stress to anybody that is a first time gun owner, get with somebody that's experienced, get out there and practice. I've got other friends that say, I don't want to waste my ammo. Well, you still got to make sure the firearm is working and efficient and it's clean. You know, I mean, you got to do those things, and ammo is needed. And they do have, Aaron, could you explain the difference between, target practice ammo and, you know, and real live ammo that you'd like in case something happens?
Yeah. So there's two types of ammunition. We got like the full metal jacket, or you'll see this feature as complete metal jacket, CMJ or FMJ. And that is your practice ammo. That's what you go to the range with. And then you have your hollow point or soft point ammunition, JHP, or you'll see this SP. Ask us at the gun shop. We'll get you set up right. But the soft point or the jacket hollow point, that's what you use when you go hunting or when you are going to use it for concealed carry for self-defense, because it expands and it stops, dissipates all of its energy, and does not go through the target. You know, when you look at the ball ammo, when I was in college, you know, umpteen decades ago, we would get this thing called a phone book, and they would get delivered on a pallet, and they'd be right there as you walked in the door, okay? And for those of you who don't know what a phone book is, it's like a really, really big book. Okay.
It's a really, really big book.
It has phone numbers in it.
Thin pages,
numbers and names. And you have the white pages and the yellow pages and I think the blue pages for government. And it's what we had before the internet. Okay.
And we had maps and phone books.
Yeah.
Maps, I was just thinking the same thing from our conversation the other day.
Yeah.
And So, and to give you an idea, you know, Greater St. Louis phone book was probably what? Four to six inches.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, you know, and we went through 15 of those before we were able to stop a Full Metal Jacket.
Wow. Okay, so holy smokes.
Just a ton of energy. It really just drives right through. Where you had a hollow point, it stopped within the second phone book.
Mm-hmm.
So really, you need to have kind of a good idea of how much energy is there. And for those of you that know what a phone book look like, you know, if you don't, you can go look at, you know, like some of these guys from the WWF, like ripping phone books in half. These things are massive, you know, and that's no joke. There's a lot of energy there.
Yeah.
The right type of projectile, the right type of bullet, okay, really makes a difference on penetration and energy dissipation and everything else.
Aaron, we talk about all, you know, how important it is to fire your gun and know these things, know the difference between, you know, educate yourself on the difference between types of ammunition and what is the right thing to put in your gun for whatever you're doing with it, whether you're, you know, just want some ammunition for your home protection or you're going to be going to a range or whatever. And because of coronavirus, we have all of, because of coronavirus, we have all these new gun owners. There's more than just coronavirus, but coronavirus is a big factor in why we have all these new gun owners. But it is the reason that training has been not as easy to get. You at Southern Armory and many other places have not been able to have your standard classes, your CCW classes, your advanced pistol classes, because we haven't been able to get together in groups. When do you see that sort of stuff returning to Southern Armory and other places so all of these new gun owners have a place to go and get the necessary training?
At a certain point with the vaccines, you're going to get a herd immunity.
Yeah.
Okay. And the question is just how quick can we achieve that? So, you know, I don't really have a time frame of when they're going to allow, you know, groups to come back. Have we been doing a little bit of training? Yep, but it's just been very small groups. Generally, it's just people coming in and saying, hey, I got a group of four or five people, you know, can we get together and do something? Absolutely. And that's just kind of how we've been playing it. You know, the ranges have been trying to keep the social distancing and stuff as well, along with compliance with the mask wearing. So we've been utilizing our private property to take people out and go shooting. So it's just kind of a weird year. Let's mm-hmm. just say that. I think we can all agree with that.
Yeah.
One.
Go ahead, Bo.
So the ammo is coming. And the last time I was at your store, you actually had some local reloaders that you sell their ammo through. Do you have some of that in stock right now?
So, yeah, we have a local manufacturer that we've been carrying his ammo for probably close to a decade. And, you know, he, like everybody else in the manufacturing industry, is just kind of waiting for the components. And so he'll get components in and he'll start, you know, firing up the machines to build stuff. So the answer is yes, he is getting it. But just like everybody else, it's a slow process. Primers seem to be the big holdup. You know, I can get a hold of, you know, for inventory, I can get a hold of brass, I can get a hold of powder, I can get a hold of projectiles, but the primer is what seems to be bottlenecking the whole industry.
And who makes the primer? Is it just one company that does that?
There are several companies that make them, but it's just a raw material issue. And then you have the raw material issue. A lot of companies, several of these companies are not located in the U.S., so they have to import them. So now you have an importation issue because everything's getting bottlenecked at the ports. And then you have the raw material and then reduced capacity for manufacturing because they're not doing three shifts anymore. Or they're doing three shifts still, but, you know, every other shift is cleaning. So in some of these places. So it's just unique. It's unique.
Hey, Aaron, we were talking last week or maybe the week before about SHOT Show being canceled in 2021. I know that there is I saw advertisement for a gun show in St. Charles, I think, this weekend. So I know that there are some gun shows coming back to the area. What do you think 2021 holds for, you know, those type of events? Do you think we're going to see the return of those type of gun shows and gun events, or are we not there yet?
So SHOT Show, for those of you that have no idea what that is like the biggest industry show in the world. I mean,
it's like the CES of guns, right?
I'm not sure what CES is, but
computer electronic show.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Consumer electronic show.
I didn't either, Aaron.
It's in Vegas. It's huge.
Oh my goodness! Well, now it's
Carl
virtual.
Was nodding his head with Bo, like, "Yeah, that's it." I was like,
"It's the same
okay.
weekend as the AVN Awards."
It's like I'm the only guy that doesn't know what that is.
and you know, I didn't know about
computer
the
electronic show. I get it. That makes sense. Yeah,
but does anybody know what the AVN show is? Carl, you should have, since you have the most experience. Why don't you explain?
The AVNs are the adult video awards.
We didn't need to.
They're the same weekend as the Consumer Electronics Show.
Gotcha. I'm not sure that really means anything to this conversation, but
if you knew what any of those things meant, you know it's a great weekend in Vegas.
There you go.
So, anyway, back to SHOT Show. SHOT Show is held at the Sands Convention Center, and it is like four or five stories.
Yeah,
including conference rooms of firearms and accessories, and we have something called the SHOT Show flu. Okay, so people go to SHOT Show, and there's such an influx of people there that they get the flu when they leave. And you know, you'll talk to your buddies that went from across the U.S. that you've met, made friends with, etc. They're like, "Yeah, I got the SHOT Show flu." It's like, "Oh man,
you know, it's better than what you get at the AVN."
No kidding.
There's no vaccine for that.
Oh, they've got, you know, shots. Anyway, hey, I do want to mention, I've got the hours in front of me of the St. Charles Gun Show that's going on. Saturday goes till 5 and Sunday 9 to 3. And there is an admission. And I think I heard an advertisement, Aaron, that they're going to be selling ammo. Are they really?
So there will be some, I'm sure, ammo vendors there. There will be people that just do the gun show circuit. Like, so we used to do just the gun show circuit, and we would carry a limited amount of ammo with us. You know, we'd buy a few cases and sell them, but it was mostly, you know, for upselling. I will say that people have been going to the gun shows and then coming into the store saying, you know, prices are kind of out of line with what they're seeing in the retail store. So, so it's just kind of the difference between, you know, the gun shows and your retail stores. Your retail stores try to kind of, at least we do, we rein it in. You know, we're not going to charge more than what our normal margin
is. Not going to price gouge.
Right. Well, supply and demand, though. You don't want to be an idiot, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, but there's also business.
You want repeat customers.
Yeah, exactly.
So, with that being said, you know,
let me just put this out there, okay? If I walk into a store and they have the ammo that I need, I'm buying it. I don't care what the price is.
Yeah, no, I get that. And supply and demand is definitely a thing, but then there's also price gouging. So
And when you go to the gun,
there's a line there.
Line.
There's a line there, yep.
When you go to the gun show, that is, you know, kind of everybody's hitting the gun show because they can't find what they want, and you're going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a target-rich environment, right?
Yeah.
So it's a seller's market, not a buyer's market. And so maybe before you go spend $800 on that Glock, you should call us and see what we're selling them for and maybe get on the list if you're not in a hurry.
So, Aaron, as we start off this, we're out of time, but as we start off this new year, for folks that haven't had a chance to get out to Southern Armory, if they want to come out and see you or learn more about you online, all the different ways to find Southern Armory.
Yeah, come find us 1 mile east of 270 and 44, 9901 Watson Road. And you can find us on Southern Armory on Facebook, Second Amendment News, podcast on Facebook, or SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
And that is the great Aaron Tarlow, who we go into the new year with. He's been here since day one. And Aaron, we appreciate everything that you do for this show, all the support from you and Southern Armory. Thank you so much, my friend. Looking forward to 2021 together again.
Yep, ditto. Same here.
All right.
See you guys in the new year.
Sounds good. Talk to you next week, same time. And right now we need to take a break. And like I said, when we get back, we are going to play the interview that Bo and I had with Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County. We talked to him just a couple of days ago on the Dave Glover Show. And we're going to bring you that conversation when we get back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Because you can't stop us out and you can't make us run. Those women moan, boys raised. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo, Carl Middleman, and Bo Matthews.
Hello.
Here. As I mentioned, Bo was with me this week as I was hosting the Dave Glover Show on 97.1 FM Talk. And on Tuesday of this past week, we got a chance to catch up with Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County. And so we're going to bring you that conversation right now. Here is Bo and I talking to Sheriff Dave Marshak. With Sue and Andrew and Bo Matthews, my partner from Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Did you guys notice that the tree is gone?
I did.
Who did
worst
that?
Day of the year.
I did that.
Tony always puts it up and takes it down.
Tony giveth and Tony taketh away.
Yeah, it's true.
It was over here.
I'm in charge of the tree.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
I was looking for the Yule log behind me, but it's
I know
not
we
there.
Need to get something on the screen.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah. I totally forgot to. I'll do that on the break.
We need to get something on the screen.
Chilly.
Yeah. What do you guys? You guys? Do you have Did you decorate the house?
My wife.
Are the decorations still up?
She is the Christmas tree police, and the decorations are up.
Outside of the house?
No, nobody can see it anyway.
Right, no, I know.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just saying, why put lights outside?
If nobody can see it.
I get
that.
I get
that, though.
But the inside is beautiful.
Sure.
And it's still up.
I have a friend who lives on a piece of property kind of back in the woods, and you have to go down a gravel road to get there, and there's a couple sparse homes in the same situation that are way back off the road on big pieces of property, but they still do lights on their house. I think just for themselves and
I
their
guess
family.
Santa needs to see the house. Yeah. He needs to find the house. So
yeah,
well,
I took the lights down this weekend. They're already gone off the house.
Wow,
is that early?
That's a little. That's jumping the gun a little bit.
You think?
But I think so.
It was really nice.
Yes, I was going to say that's how because I saw
that's
a bunch
fair.
Of people doing that, and the reason for that is that it was 50. Last
yeah.
weekend, and it's going to be 10
exactly.
Weekend.
It's supposed to be crap
all
this
right,
coming
that,
weekend. And I didn't know.
That's
I
a
didn't,
fair point.
I didn't know that it was going to be crap this weekend, but I knew that it was nice.
Yeah. You don't
over the weekend,
up,
and I was like, you know what? I don't know if I'll get another shot at this.
Yeah. If you've got outside stuff to do on your house, you don't pass up 50
so,
in the middle of December, or end of December, rather.
I didn't know if that was, if I was, it's too early to take down the Christmas tree out of here or the lights on the house, but.
Here's a question.
Uh-huh.
Do you leave your Christmas tree lights on all night long?
I do.
Throughout the whole season? Because we leave ours on, well, I leave it on all night long on Christmas Eve so Santa can find
well,
me.
Well, certainly.
When you
I mean,
live
geez.
When you live where I live, you always keep your porch light on all night long. And if it's Christmas, if you don't have a porch light because your Christmas lights are up, then you leave your Christmas lights on all night long.
Okay.
No,
okay.
I would do that anyway, though. I turn the Christmas lights off in the morning when I wake up.
So you turn them on in the morning.
All night.
Yeah.
I turn them on in the morning.
Yeah, a cup of coffee.
I had mine on a timer this year.
Ooh.
Ta-da.
Yeah, that's fancy.
Technology.
Uh-huh.
Yep. All right.
I just wanted to I wanted to get your thoughts if I was too early to be taking down the tree. And
I'm going to take it down tomorrow, Tony, because you know you had to buy them early, the real ones, because they got sold out, and mine is just about dead. I mean, it's not,
a fire hazard.
It's, yeah, it's woo, it's been up for a long time.
So as I mentioned, Bo, of course, is my co-host every weekend for Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors, which you can hear on Saturdays here on 97.1. And Sundays on our sister station, KMOX, and one of our regular guests on that show is joining us now, Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County. Sheriff, always great to talk with you, my friend. How's it going?
Good afternoon to all of you. I'm doing well. No complaints.
So first things first, I think you could hear our conversation there. Most important thing, is it too early to take down Christmas lights?
No, you're fine. And I liked Bo's reference to the Christmas police. It's much like that here at my house. So I don't have much. I don't get the opportunity to weigh in too many on Christmas decorations. But I think you're fine. There's no violation there.
Sheriff, we had a friend we found out over this past weekend after Christmas. We found out he did not have a tree up. He's a single guy in Redbud, Illinois. We drove over there and gave him a Charlie Brown tree just to make sure he had a tree. That's how my wife needs a badge.
That's validation of friendship.
Yeah. Did anybody ever see the tree in New York after it was decorated? Remember when you just said Charlie Brown tree, it reminded me of the story of
the bad Rockefeller tree.
The Rockefeller Square tree this year. Uh-oh. Did you see that in early December when the tree was first put up before they put the lights on it? It was pathetic.
Oh, yep. Man.
It was like a dead tree with no pine needles. It was
oh my God.
It was a huge Charlie Brown tree. I never saw it lit up. I hope that they it's
I'm horrified.
It's
no, it looked fine. It looked fine. There were big holes in it. Remember that? That's what I remember.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
That looks fine to you, Sue? We need to talk.
Well, no, but then look at the finished version, and it looks great. I don't know how they do it, whether it's smoke and mirrors or what.
They just put a million lights on.
That's probably
it. I've seen it. I've been to New York at Christmas time and seen it in person. It's unbelievable. But I don't think the tree that I saw looked like that.
Sheriff,
no, it didn't.
You have law and order to uphold. You don't have time to talk about Christmas trees.
I think Sheriff is used to us kind of getting off topic from time to time in discussions.
Ain't that the truth?
But to get back on topic, Sheriff, it's that time of year where everybody's looking forward to the new year. If you're making resolutions, you're doing that now. And it's also obviously a time to reflect back on the year that was. There's a lot to reflect back on when it comes to 2020. For you personally, policing, law and order was one of the headlines throughout 2020. When you look back, what are your takeaways from this year?
Ooh. Well, without a doubt, 2020 has been transformational. I think we can all agree, both in terms of maybe in terms of how we work and how we socialize, but definitely in terms of how some people view the police. And so, I think collectively we've made some progress. And at the same time, going into 2021, I think more progress will be made. But I think we continue to see some progressive narratives that maybe are false in some ways, that I think as police, we have a responsibility to continue doing what we can to educate the public in terms of what it is to be a police officer and what our role in society is.
We have Americans that are going through a lot of tough times right now, economically, psychologically, but that means that people are going to be desperate. They need to get money for food. Food is the biggest motivator of all. And in Jefferson County, is probably like a lot of other counties, a rash of auto break-ins, and it's really a simple fix, Sheriff, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. And, the fact is, I think the last time I checked was about mid-December. We had 424 stolen vehicles in our county. About 85% of those were attributed to vehicles unlocked with the keys in them. Yeah. I think as we continue to make it easier and easier, the criminals will, capitalize on that. And in some situations, when you leave your vehicle unlocked, crime does pay. And what you're seeing in some of these other areas as well is not only the disincarceration narrative of pushing people out of jails, it's also one of allowing people to steal and with limited consequences. And so we have to look at all those things together and not make it easy for criminals moving ahead.
Sheriff, we've talked a lot throughout the year on Second Amendment Radio about, you just mentioned, transformational year, and I think it's going to be a transformational period for law enforcement across the country. Obviously, the defund the police narrative was very strong this year. We've talked about that. But we've also talked about, you know, that obviously is the extreme edge that I think we all find ridiculous. But maybe there is a conversation about some changes that could be made to law enforcement as we go through the transformational period that you talked about going into 2021. What are some of, if any, would there be some changes to law enforcement that you could see that would be beneficial for people not only in our area but across the country?
Well, I think you mentioned a couple things. Number one is that long-term, we're going to continue to have enormous challenges. Nationally, there's half the applicants that there were in 2010. And at the same time, we've seen a reduction of sworn officers nationally by 10%. So, you know, this narrative of defunding, redirecting funds, it's been going on for a while, and it'll continue to go on. I think some of our challenges will be at the national level. I mean, earlier this year, we saw Republican Senator Roy Blunt tweet that he was in favor of Obama-era policies of consent decrees, monitoring local police departments. I think the challenges are going to be real. I think one of our biggest challenges is going to be recruitment. I mean, where do we head from here? Most of the police officers we're getting right now are seasoned police officers. We are not seeing a lot of high-quality candidates coming in. That's not an indictment on all the new police officers. Certainly, there's some great ones in there. But I think that will be the real challenge for us in the future.
Question, just before we brought you on, we were talking about Christmas tree lights, and Tony referenced in his neighborhood, he leaves the light on outside like Motel 6 all night long. For those people, that whether they live in a neighborhood or rurally, would you recommend people having their light on outside like a floodlight or something like that all night long, or does that just give the bad guys a better visual?
That's a good question.
Yeah, well, so I think there's an argument to be made for safety reasons, right? I mean, most criminals like to go undetected and, you know, have a low profile. So I think in some areas where it's well lit, it may discourage some criminals. And so that could be a good thing. Okay. My wife would argue it's light pollution and it endangers the environment and animals. So take which one you want.
Okay. Well, that's why I come to you for these questions.
Sheriff, you know, going back to 2020, looking back, a lot of things were brought to light across the country. Bad acts by police officers or questionable, you know, actions by police officers. But as we've talked about on this show and Second Amendment Radio, that is some of these things that we see happen, while they need to be addressed and we need to do everything we can to make sure that those types of actions are taken away, we do everything we can to stop them in the future. That is not a representation of police officers 95% of the time in their everyday life. And I wanted to bring this up because I don't know if you got a chance to see this or not, but the situation in Nashville that happened with the RV exploding, today they released a bunch of different body cam videos from various Nashville police officers. And it's really inspiring and heroic to see. And I think what these body cam videos represent is a much better representation of police officers around the country than some of the other stories that we've seen in 2020. I don't know if you got a chance, Sheriff, to see any of those videos, but the bravery of the police officers on display in Nashville, and, you know, it's on display in Jefferson County and other places around the country. I think it's important to remember that, you know, that police are 99% of the time sticking up for the community and doing the right thing, and we need to remember that and stick up for them, I think.
I think, Tony, thank you for acknowledging that, what those police officers do every day working the street. They're so committed. We see it day in, day out, not only in our community, but throughout the entire St. Louis region and our country. And I believe that. I believe a majority of officers, I've worked with so many professionals over the years, are out there every day, and they will do what's necessary, risking their personal safety to keep our community safe. I think at the same time, you'll always have questionable high-profile police shootings. 2021 is going to be no different, because when you're putting police officers in situations that are incredibly stressful, they increase in heart rate, and these police officers are human, forced to make human decisions in split seconds. I think that's something that we will always see. And moving into 2021, it's just a matter of time before you see another one. But, you know, again, these are humans. They're police officers. They're husbands and their wives, and they have family members, and they're out there doing what they can do to keep their community safe. I believe that.
Well, we all hope for a better 2021 as we move forward. Sheriff, I want to thank you for your part of Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors and for leading a great department. You guys have had certain challenges that, you know, maybe similar to other counties, but it's cool because we have this private connection that we can get you on the phone and get your thoughts on it. But I would like to say, too, I don't know what the statistics are, because you hear, you know, the mainstream media guys going, oh, 99% of the cops are good. I want to say, if you did the numbers, or maybe you can find this information out, I would say it would be 99.99995, that because there's going to be weirdos in any industry.
Every group, every industry, every group of people, there's always bad apples.
In this room right here, yeah. We have five people in this room. Wait, one, two, three, yep. four people in this room.
And one of us is no good.
You're dang right.
Wow.
But no, but
look at the guilty party whistle.
There's bad apples in every organization. And we need to do everything we can to stamp those people out of those organizations. Law enforcement is no different. But I think that the vast majority of police officers,
even with those statistics out there, a bad guy at your front door, who are you going to call?
Exactly.
Right. And you know, Bo and Tony and the rest of the crew there, I just thank you for having me on in 2020. I've enjoyed it so much, sharing insights with your listeners and talking about police use of force and recruitment and some of our challenges. It's been an honor for me, so I appreciate your time as well.
Well, thank you, Sheriff, and we will continue to go to you throughout 2021 for your insight and great information about law enforcement. So thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon. In the meantime,
have a great new year.
Yeah, back at you. Have a happy new year. Could not fly. Search of souls, search of something. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo, producer Carl Middleman,
hello.
And my partner Bo Matthews here with you. Just a few minutes left in this week's show. Great conversation, as always, there with Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County. I want to remind folks that you can hear that interview again, and you can hear everything that we do here on the show, not only on the air on 97.1 and KMOX every weekend, but also on our podcast. You can get the Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors podcast just about anywhere you get podcasts. But I always recommend the radio.com app. It's basically one-stop shopping for the whole radio station. You can stream the station 24/7. You can rewind live radio, and you can download the podcast of this and every show on the station, right there on the radio.com app. We put out two podcasts. One goes out on Friday. The show podcast goes out on Friday, and the podcast exclusive comes out on Monday. And as we wrap this show up, it's just before the new year. So I want to thank everybody for another great year and looking forward to 2021. I want to thank all of our great sponsors that have been a part of this show, including the sponsor that always is there when we're talking about the great outdoors. And that, Bo, is, of course,
Razorback Armory. They are your full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. They are in De Pere on Manchester Road, just a half mile east of 270. Find them and details about them and directions at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you.
And Bo, I want to say thanks to you as well for joining the show in 2020. Looking forward to 2021 with you and Carl, who
Hi.
Is the new producer as we go into the new year.
I got a Christmas card from Chad. He says hello to everybody.
I know. That was
yeah, that was so cool to hear from Chad, who's doing great in Arizona. And Bo, I just wanted to say again, thanks for joining the show. Thanks for everything you do, and I'm looking forward to a great new year with the
Tony.
With the
you've shown me the way, man. You've shown me how to do this, and I've enjoyed it. Ironically, as I entered the building, I think the question came up: are you into guns? I was like, yeah, and they were like, hey, we got an idea. So thanks for letting me. Thanks for letting me piggyback on your show, brother.
Well, no, thank you, and thank you, Carl, and thank you, everyone, for listening and all the support with the downloading of the podcast. So we're going to wrap up this week. We'll be back here next week for you for another edition of the show. For Carl and Bo, I'm Tony. Thank you so much for listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Send lawyers, guns, and money.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo, producer Carl Middleman,
hello.
And my partner Bo Matthews here with you. Just a few minutes left in this week's show. Great conversation, as always, there with Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County. I want to remind folks that you can hear that interview again, and you can hear everything that we do here on the show, not only on the air on 97.1 and KMOX every weekend, but also on our podcast. You can get the Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors podcast just about anywhere you get podcasts. But I always recommend the radio.com app. It's basically one-stop shopping for the whole radio station. You can stream the station 24/7. You can rewind live radio, and you can download the podcast of this and every show on the station, right there on the radio.com app. We put out two podcasts. One goes out on Friday. The show podcast goes out on Friday, and the podcast exclusive comes out on Monday. And as we wrap this show up, it's as we're recording this, it's just before the new year. So I want to thank everybody for another great year and looking forward to 2021. I want to thank all of our great sponsors that have been a part of this show, including the sponsor that always is there when we're talking about the great outdoors. And that, Bo, is, of course,
Razorback Armory. They are your full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. They are in De Pere on Manchester Road, just a half mile east of 270. Find them and details about them and directions at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you.
And Bo, I want to say thanks to you as well for joining the show in 2020. Looking forward to 2021 with you and Carl, who
Hi.
Is the new producer as we go into the new year.
I got a Christmas card from Chad. He says hello to everybody.
That was so cool to hear from Chad, who's doing great in Arizona. And Bo, I just wanted to say again, thanks for joining the show. Thanks for everything you do, and I'm looking forward to a great new year with the
Tony.
With the
you've shown me the way, man. You've shown me how to do this, and I've enjoyed it. Ironically, as I entered the building, I think the question came up: are you into guns? I was like, yeah, and they were like, hey, we got an idea. So thanks for letting me. Thanks for letting me piggyback on your show, brother.
Well, no. Thank you, and thank you, Carl, and thank you, everyone, for listening and all the support with the downloading of the podcast. So we're going to wrap up this week. We'll be back here next week for you for another edition of the show. For Carl and Bo, I'm Tony. Thank you so much for listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Send lawyers, guns, and money.